Let's see here. I've got a prayer letter to read later. Don't let me forget about that. Go with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We had a question come in a couple weeks ago that I'd like to address tonight. There in 2 Thessalonians. The question was, is the falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, is the falling away there before or after the rapture? So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So the question again is the falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 before or after the rapture? Let's pray before we get into this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this study. Father, I pray that you'd help me to present it clearly. And Lord, I pray that we would learn something from it tonight. Pray that you would strengthen our faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says, as we lead into verse 3, verse 2 is very important. He's telling the church there that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. In other words, even if you got a letter that was signed by Paul that said that we were in the day of the Lord, don't even mind it. It's not right. Nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the key point to understanding this whole passage is getting a grasp on what is, when is, the day of Christ. When is the day of Christ? And this is going to be a two-part message. Tonight we're just going to center on what is the day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? What is the day of the Lord? Okay, if we are not going to understand anything else about this passage until we figure out and determine when this is. So I have a sheet of all the Bible verses here that. I copied and pasted. I did a lot, several searches. So I got all the Bible verses that say day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of this, the day of that, all of those. So can I have a young man come up here and pass these out for me, please? I'm going to keep one of them. Give your pew two, Aunt Denise's pew two, and everybody else should be able to share one. I'd like to have extra for folks that aren't here tonight. Put the rest, the spares, on the back table there, if you would, please, sir. Thank you. Okay? So this on this sheet of paper, we start off with the day of Christ. All the verses in the Bible that say the day of Christ. We have one verse in the Bible that says the day of Jesus Christ. We have two verses in the Bible that say the day of the Lord Jesus. And then we move on to the day of the Lord, and we have virtually a page and a half of Bible verses that cite the day of the Lord. And then after that, we have the day of the wrath of the Lord, day of the wrath of the Lord. And then one verse that says that. We have one verse that says wrath of the Lamb. We have four verses that say day of wrath, and then we have several verses that say wrath of God at the end. Okay, so this is something you can refer to and you can look at. We're not necessarily going to go by this alone tonight, but the verses I'm going to refer to, most of them are on this sheet. So every verse that's on here has to do with either judgment the destruction of the wicked, rewards, or recompense. All of these verses have something to do, I believe, with the same day. The same day. Okay? So the day of Christ, I believe, is the same thing as the day of the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah 13. Every verse has to do with either judgment, the destruction of the wicked, rewards, or recompense. Isaiah 13, please. Isaiah 13 and verse 6, first of all, is one of the verses on that sheet. Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. So whatever the day of the Lord is, it is destruction from the Almighty. Verse 9 of the same chapter. Verse 9 of the same chapter. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So whatever the day of the Lord is, it has to do with God's anger, God's wrath, God's judgment, God's destruction. Okay? And then, so that it has to do with judgment and destruction of the wicked. But according to the Bible, it is also a time of heathen men. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 30. And I hope you get your fingers limbered up. Ezekiel 30, verse 3. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day, it shall be the time of the heathen. Okay, interesting. So whatever the day of the Lord is, it is judgment from God, it is destruction from God. It is a terrible day, but it is also a time of heathen men. Okay, the next clue we have is found in Obadiah. Obadiah, chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. So of course it's going to be chapter 1. But verse 15. For the day of the Lord, Obadiah 1:15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. It's a time of heathen men. It's a time when heathen men be recompensed in like manner that as they have behaved themselves. God will reward them according to their works during this time. Isaiah 34, the next clue. Isaiah 34 and verse 8. Whatever the day of the Lord is, it is the time to deal with Israel. It is the time God deals with Israel. Isaiah 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. The controversy of Zion, of course, would be the Messiah. The Messiah. The fact that they rejected their Messiah. So God is going to hold Israel accountable for the fact that they missed out on the time of the Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. Pay attention to me. Whatever the day of the Lord is, it's God recompensing Israel as well. The fourth clue, it is a time when God takes life. Zephaniah now. Two verses in Zephaniah. Habakkuk, then Zephaniah, chapter 1. Whatever the day of the Lord is, whatever the day of Christ is, the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of the Lord's wrath, I believe these are all the same day. It is a time when God takes life. Zephaniah 1, verse 7 and 8. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. So God is referring to the fact that he is going to slay some people. He's referring to that as a sacrifice. And of course, you could hook that up with the verse verses in Revelation where God calls, I think it's in Revelation, where God calls the birds to his sacrifice on a certain day. Okay, but it is a time when God takes life. Fifth clue, it is the time when God's anger is poured out upon men. Zephaniah chapter 2. And there's a lot of verses in Zephaniah, by the way, if you look at the day of the Lord in your list. There's, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven verses in Zephaniah that have to do with the day of the Lord. Zephaniah 2:2, it is a time when God's anger is poured out upon men. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Okay, the day of the Lord, day of the Lord's anger. Whatever the day of the Lord is, it is a time of alarm in Jerusalem. Turn to Joel. Joel, go back a few books. Daniel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. Whatever the day of the Lord is, it is a time of alarm in Jerusalem. Joel 2, 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Time of alarm in Jerusalem. It is a time when great multitudes enter into one valley. Go to Joel 3. Joel 3. A time when a great multitude enters into one valley. Joel 3, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Okay? All these verses have to do with judgment, the destruction of the wicked, rewards or recompense. And what day, what time period fits all of these things? Well, according to God's word, there is a time called the Great Tribulation that fits this description. During the Great Tribulation, notice it's not just a single day. By the way, the Great Tribulation is a 7-year time period. But the Great Tribulation is, I believe, what the Bible is referring to primarily as the day of the Lord. Okay? And I'll talk about that later on, that primarily. The Tribulation is the day of the Lord. The Tribulation is a time of heathen men. All the saved are going to be taken out at the beginning. The tribulation will be populated to begin with just unsaved wicked men, and then finally a few people will be saved. A lot of people will be saved, but overall it's going to be mostly heathen men in the time of the tribulation. In the time of the tribulation, it's a time of rewarding the heathen. We understand that God's going to be casting judgment after judgment after judgment upon the earth during that time. It's a time to deal with Israel. The day of the Lord is also referred to, or I should say the tribulation is also referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the time to deal with Israel for rejecting their Messiah. And it's the time to deal with their hard heart that has been hardened for centuries against their Messiah. God's going to cast judgment not only on the world, but on Israel specifically, judgment after judgment. He's going to hammer that hard heart of Israel until finally it cracks. And that hard heart is finally ground to powder. And finally they come to a place where the nation, whoever is left, the nation finally is willing to say, this is God's hand. All of these judgments, we cannot deny it's God's hand. Water has turned to blood. Demon armies have swept over the world. This is nothing but God's hand. What is God trying to tell us? Okay, Lord, we're ready. Whatever you have to tell us, we'll believe at this point. And they are finally ready to listen to Jehovah God. And when they're ready, it's at the end of the tribulation, of course. And then it's that point when Jesus comes back and they, oh my. It's Jesus Christ coming out of heaven on a white horse. It's the one we crucified, and the Bible says all Israel will go into mourning. All Israel will believe as well on Jesus at that point, but they will mourn for the fact that for 2,000 years they rejected their Messiah. For 2,000 years their grandparents and all their predecessors have died in their sin. All their family have died in their sin and gone to a devil's hell because they rejected the Messiah. They will mourn, but they will believe. It's a time when God deals with Israel. And of course, in the tribulation, God takes life. A lot of lives are lost. One judgment, a third of the world's population is wiped out. God takes lots of lives in the tribulation. And, of course, God's anger is poured out upon men. The Bible talks about the wrath of God being poured out upon men during that time. And, of course, it's a time of alarm in Jerusalem, not just from the Lord either. The Antichrist desecrates the temple and breaks his peace treaty with Israel and makes war against Israel. So it's a time of great alarm in Jerusalem. And then at the very end of the tribulation, that is when a great multitude gathers together into one valley, the valley of Jezreel, the valley of Megiddo, and that is when God comes back, the Lord Jesus comes back, and fights against those nations, all those armies, and he destroys them. So the day of the Lord has to be the tribulation. It's the only time that fits this all these prophecies. The day of the Lord will be a time when men see Jesus on the throne. Turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. The day of the Lord is a time when men see Jesus sitting on a throne. Revelation 6, verse 16. And said to them, this is talking about the people that said this, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So they see Jesus on a throne during this time. Okay? When is this? Well, I don't know that I believe that it's during the tribulation, except that I think it might be the last day of the tribulation, the day of Armageddon. Jesus comes back and wipes out the soldiers of the world, and then he sets up his throne in Jerusalem and takes his seat on the throne while the rest of the world looks on. Okay? And whatever the day of the Lord is, it's also a time of rewarding believers. Rewarding believers. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Now this is pretty interesting. It's a time of reward, comfort to believers. Philippians 1, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So we're supposed to be living carefully, living without offense, till the day of Christ, when we finally, I don't have to be careful anymore. My sin nature is dealt with. I'm not going to be an offense. I'm not going to be a sinful person anymore. Okay, the day of Christ is interesting. It's terrible for the lost, but it's wonderful for the believer. Philippians 2. Before we move on from this chapter, look at verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is this? It's a wonderful day when we are all Christians are sure of their salvation. Philippians 2, verse 16. Not sure the way we are sure now, but sure as in we see it. We see our salvation. That kind of sure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Christians are rejoicing in the day of Christ. that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And then it's a day when believers who disobeyed Jesus on earth during their lifetime, it talks about their spirit is saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:5, you don't have to turn there, but just real quickly, when somebody disobeys Jesus, who saved, disobeys the Lord and lives in sin and lives disobediently, the church is to discipline them. And it says, and discipline is for this reason, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So it's a day when all disobedient Christians are made right with God. That's a great day as well. And then 2 Corinthians 1:14, let's turn there. This is interesting. It's a day when we rejoice in other Christians whom we had a part in their life. We had a part in either building them up in the faith, or perhaps we had a part in their salvation to begin with. But 2 Corinthians 1:14 says this: as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing. Why would the apostles be a church's rejoicing? Well, the church has been blessing the apostles. The church has been providing for the apostles. And so the church has treasure laid up in heaven for being a blessing to the apostles. That we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. So the apostles had led the church, led those people to the Lord. The apostles are going to be rejoicing in Jesus Christ in that fact at the day of the Lord. And also the Christians who they won to the Lord were a blessing back. And so there's going to be reward for them as well. So it's blessing all around for Christians at the day of the Lord Jesus. We're made right with Him. Disobedient saints their fellowship, their state with Him is fixed. They're no longer disobedient. They've been chastised and the Lord changed their life. Everything is made right on this day. It's a wonderful day for the believers, but it's a terrible day for the lost. And if you go through the list, that's exactly what it is. The day of Christ, the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus, all those verses are wonderful verses for the believer. But then it goes, the day of the Lord are all bad verses and refer to the lost. So if you don't know the Lord, the day when Jesus comes back and sets foot on the Mount of Olives is going to be, if you don't know the Lord, that day and the tribulation is going to be a horrible time. But for the Christian who knows Jesus, it isn't the day of the Lord to them, it's the day of Jesus Christ to them. And it's a wonderful day. So it all depends on if you're lost or saved. If you're lost, that day is the day of the Lord. If you're saved, it's the day of the Lord Jesus or the day of Christ. One of those. It's a wonderful day. You know Jesus as your Savior. He's your Christ. But for somebody who doesn't know Him as Savior, He's not their Christ. And so it's the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, judgment upon them. Okay, so this is the same day. Now, again, it's the Great Tribulation, and it's a cumulative time. Okay, it's not one day. It starts at the rapture of the church, I believe, and when the tribulation begins, that's the day of the Lord. And it's the whole time period of that 7 years is the day of the Lord, and it's cumulative until the last day is the great day of the Lord. That's the actual final, that's the real day of the Lord. But the whole time is the day of the Lord, but it's a cumulative time idea. It's leading up to the final day. That's the day of the Lord. And so on that final day, like I said, Jesus destroys the armies. He sets up His throne. He sends out His angels and He gathers all those who are alive that are left, that weren't in the army. And so He ends up with all the people who took the mark of the beast and those who were saved who weren't slaughtered by the Antichrist. He ends up with this group of people that the angels bring to him in Jerusalem. And that day is when he separates the sheep from the goats. All the sheep are the ones who are saved and definitely have not taken the mark of the beast. And they're the sheep. And I believe we, as those coming back with him in heaven, riding with him back on white horses, will be either in that group or we'll be behind that group. I don't know where we're going to stand. But we're going to be sheep too. And all those who took the mark of the beast are going to be the goats. And at that point, the Lord Jesus casts all those people into hell. And he wipes them out too. The goats are gone. And so the millennium begins only with saved people. That's the day of the Lord. It's wonderful to the sheep and terrible to the goats. So it's the day of Christ to the sheep. It's the day of the Lord's judgment to the lost, the goats. So, the day of the Lord is a specific time of 7 years, but it's cumulative. But now that we have established what we believe is the day of the Lord, according to the Bible, now let's throw a monkey wrench into the works. This should be a cut and dried study, except for this monkey wrench. In the studies and debates that I have heard on this topic, I've never heard anyone refer to this verse that we're going to go to. But yet it is one of the defining verses of what will happen on the day of the Lord. Go to 2 Peter, please. This is a defining verse of what the day of the Lord is. It says it's the day of the Lord. You can't deny it. 2 Peter 3:10. Here's the monkey wrench. Now that we've established that the tribulation time period and the day Jesus returns, that's the day of the Lord, and the final day is the great day of the Lord when he does all of his working, his eternal working there. Now that we've established that's the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Wait a second. I don't know about you, but I just saw the millennium get burned up. Isn't that what that means? The millennium got burned up. The Bible clearly says the day of the Lord is the day when the Lord destroys this earth. So what's going on? Go to Zephaniah, please. Zephaniah. See, nobody, when people debate what the day of the Lord is, they don't go to this verse. They don't go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, by the way, happens 1,000 years after the day of the Lord that we know about. The day of the great tribulation, Jesus begins his millennial kingdom. 1,000 years later, after the millennium is over, that's when Jesus destroys the earth. Why is he referring to that day as the day of the Lord? Zephaniah. I'm not turning there. Should have been. Well, I'll just read it out of my notes. Zephaniah 1:14. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly." That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I know that he's describing that day. That day is going to be this kind of a day. I know that's what this is saying. But the Bible does say that day is a day of wrath. Could there be, in the Bible's words, room for another day of wrath? Another day of wrath. The Bible in 2 Peter 3 said there was going to be a day of the Lord when the Lord will destroy this earth. I believe there's a second day of the Lord. A second day of the Lord when the vast majority of all these verses The vast majority of all these verses are true again. Now, not the ones who that are describing the tribulation. You know, Revelation 15:7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. That's not going to happen again. That's going to be fulfilled prophecy in the millennium. But the rest of these verses, at the end of the millennium, I think it's going to become true again. That the day of the Lord is coming nigh. Because the day of the Lord is a day of judgment and tribulation. What's going to happen at the end of the tribulation? End of the millennium. Satan's going to be loosed. He's going to lead the unbelievers in a rebellion. And what is Jesus going to do? He's going to squelch the rebellion again. Just like Armageddon. Just like Armageddon, the Lord is going to go out to war again. And then what happens at the end of time? There's a great white throne judgment. And this is one thing that's always jumped out at me when people talk about the day of the Lord. Wouldn't the great white throne judgment be the greatest day of the Lord? It would. It's the greatest day of judgment in the history of the earth. Everybody stands before Jesus and is judged. Well, I think that's just like the judgment when Jesus separates the sheep and the goats is the cumulative great day of the Lord. In the first day of the Lord, the great white throne is the end of the second day of the Lord. Before the great white throne judgment, he destroys this earth. He destroys the earth. Like 2 Peter said, that day of the Lord, the earth will pass away with a great noise. All of these verses that we look at are going to become true again at the end of the millennium. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. That one's going to become true again. Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, is going to become a controversy to the world. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Everyone who rebels against Jesus, that verse is going to become true again at the end of the millennium. But we always refer to the tribulation as the day of the Lord because that's the one within sight. That's the one within sight, and that's the one that all these verses are plainly referring to. But don't forget 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord, in that day, the day of the Lord, the earth is going to pass away. There has to be a second, another day of the Lord at the end of the millennium. So what is the full definition? Because the definition of the day of the Lord can't just be the tribulation then. What is the definition? What is the day of the Lord? What is the day of wrath? The day of the Lord Jesus. I believe it's both of those two time periods. The great tribulation and the great rebellion at the end of time. And which is ended by the great white throne judgment. It's one judgment time throughout the tribulation and the second judgment period at the final rebellion. Both periods are when God reveals his righteous judgments upon men. What is the day of the Lord? Go to Romans 2. Romans 2. I believe this is the defining verse of what is the day of the Lord. This is the explanation. Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The Bible says the day of wrath is a day where God reveals the righteous judgment of God upon men. The day of wrath is the day that God reveals the righteous judgment of God to men. That's going to happen during the great tribulation. That's going to happen at the end of time. Both of those time periods are the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, they have to be, according to 2 Peter 3:10. There's no other explanation for it that I can see. And go to your list, the last page of your list. The wrath of God. Is the wrath of God done after the tribulation? Well, John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There are going to be more people who live after the tribulation is over that don't accept Jesus as their Savior. Is the wrath of God finished? No. The wrath of God still has to come upon that person. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's still a wrath of God to be poured out upon those who do not accept Jesus during the millennium. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. All of the children of disobedience, not just the ones who lived before the millennium. Those who lived during the millennium too. But let's go back to second. In closing, let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the day of the Lord. Yes, the day of the Lord is the tribulation, but I don't think this is the only day of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:10 says the day of the Lord is going to be the day the heavens shall pass away. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day of the Lord, the day of Christ, is any day that the awesome power of Jesus Christ as God Almighty and his power of judgment is revealed upon all men. Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The day of wrath is the day God reveals the righteous judgment of God to men. That's the day of the Lord. That's the day of Jesus Christ. For the saved, it's the day of Jesus Christ. For the lost, it's the wrath of God and the great day of the Lord. Okay? Did I lose everybody? Or does it make sense? There has to be another day of the Lord beyond the great tribulation, according to 2 Peter 3:10. And Romans 2:5, I believe is the definition of what the day of the Lord is. It's the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, we do look forward to this coming day of the Lord, the one that's close to us, when we will be with you in heaven. The saints will not be here on this earth during the day of the Lord. We don't have to go through wrath. The Bible says we are preserved from wrath. And so, Lord, we're grateful for that. And Father, I pray that we we would trust your word and believe your word, that there are going to be two times in the future when it's your day to judge men, and that's what the day of the Lord is. So, Father, we look forward to seeing the world bow their knees before you. And, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.